Hello, I'm Moira Alderson with the BBC News. The UN General Assembly has overwhelmingly adopted a resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. Though it's non-binding, analysts say it acts as a powerful measure of international opinion. The Israeli ambassador, Gilad Erdan, said the ceasefire was not a solution.
What will happen the day after the ceasefire? Will this bring peace and stability to the region? Of course not. A ceasefire is a death sentence for countless more Israelis and Gazans. By voting in favor of this resolution, you are supporting the survival of jihadist terror and the continued suffering of people of Gaza.
The result of the vote was welcomed by the Palestinian presidency, while Hamas said it showed the prevailing international will was in favor of stopping the aggression. The Argentine economy minister has announced a 50% devaluation of the currency, the peso, as part of President Javier Milei's plans to tackle the country's economic woes. Luis Caputo said he had inherited the worst economic legacy in Argentina's history and announced deep cuts to public spending. Pleas from the Ukrainian president for the quick approval of further US military aid have gained little traction with Republicans in Congress. But President Biden has told Volodymyr Zelensky that the US will stand by Kyiv, adding that Congress would be giving a Christmas gift to Russia if it failed to pass the $60 billion package. Mr. Zelensky said it was important Ukraine and its allies maintained a show of solidarity.
It's very important that by the end of this year we can send very strong signal of our unity to the aggressor and the unity of Ukraine, America, Europe, the entire free world. Everything we talked about today will help us in the year 2024.
Negotiators at the United Nations Climate Conference in Dubai are holding a series of meetings as they search for a compromise final agreement. No new text has yet been published, with demands for the inclusion of a phrase promising the phasing out of fossil fuels being rebutted by oil and gas producing nations. Our environment correspondent, Matt McGrath, is in Dubai.
Hard to say how it will be anything other than a compromise. I hear from various people who have been familiar with some parts of the text that it's looking that way, like some form of fudge, if you like. And that's normally the procedure here. You have 200 countries and getting agreement tends to fall towards the lowest common denominator. The big concerns for a lot of countries was that the science this year showed the warmest year in 125,000 years, and it was a great opportunity to make the link to fossil fuels at a meeting like this and get progress on that issue. And I think many people will feel it might be a missed opportunity.
Talks at the climate conference in Dubai are expected to continue through the night. BBC News. The Spanish National Weather Service has recorded its highest ever December temperature, 29.9 degrees Celsius, in the southern city of Malaga. It said changes in world climate had made such freak temperatures more likely. Spain has seen a tripling of the number of heat waves over the past 10 years. Poland's Prime Minister Donald Tusk has won a vote of confidence in Parliament, confirming his diverse alliance as the country's new government. He had earlier outlined his administration's agenda, which includes improving relations with the European Union and securing judicial independence in Poland. Over its 8 years in office, the outgoing Law and Justice Party has been accused of undermining the rule of law, leading Brussels to block funds for the country. President Biden has hit out at a ruling by the Texas Supreme Court that prevented a pregnant woman from getting an emergency abortion that doctors say was required on medical grounds. Kate Cox is pregnant with a fetus that has a rare genetic defect, which usually results in stillbirth or death just after birth. She's left Texas to receive medical treatment. The British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's emergency bill, reviving his plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda, has been approved by Parliament, enabling it to proceed to the next stage of the legislative process. The bill, which opened up deep divisions in the ruling Conservative Party, was passed with a majority of 44. The Home Office Minister, Chris Philp, said the government was open to discussions.
The government ministers will be talking to members of parliament to see if there are ways of tightening this even further, to improve the drafting, to make sure there are absolutely no loopholes at all, to make sure the courts can't unpick this. And if there are constructive, good ideas to improve this bill any further, then ministers will listen to those in a respectful, open and constructive way. But for tonight, we're pleased to have passed the strongest ever piece of immigration legislation.
BBC News.